two, three into the four. Snoop Doggy Dogg and Dr. Dre is at the dope.
101.7 is Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. Listen, I can't express how honored I am to be able to invite our next guest onto this platform. He has spent decades at the center of the fight over educational opportunity. He is best known for his community organizing work that he did in Durham, North Carolina, as an employee of Operation Breakthrough and as a co-founder of Malcolm X Liberation University in 1969. He served as the superintendent of Milwaukee Public Schools from 1991 to 1995 and is currently a professor of education and founder and director of the Institute for Transformation of Learning at Marquette University in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And if you didn't know, his name is on a building at the school that I teach at. Three of them, to be exact. Dr. Howard Fuller, thank you so much for joining me today. It is truly an honor and a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining us. Okay, so while we're working out, I think he's muted right now, but while we're working that out, again, if you are just joining us, we have Dr. Howard Fuller here. He's joining us virtually. We're going to talk about the school choice, parental choice, just choices overall. What choices do we have as a community, as a parent, when it comes to the education of our children? And the reason why, again, this is important, because we all know that there are multiple things happening that is pretty much taking away the choices that we have. It's not anything that can be overlooked. It is not anything that we should not take seriously. It is something that we need to have a conversation about. Dr. Fuller, I don't know if you can hear me, but I think your camera is on mute.
I can hear
you now.
I can hear you clearly.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Hey, I'm good today.
Thank you again. So good to see you. Thank you so much for joining us. I just, again, humbled by you accepting this, grateful for all of the work that you have done for myself and the youth who come behind me. Again, just truly appreciative of who you are as an individual. So I want to jump right into it. We know that there's a lot going on when it comes to the school system overall. It doesn't matter which system, but public, charter, choice, all of the above. There is a lot that has to be done. There's a lot that has been done. So my question to you is, Dr. Fuller, help us separate two ideas that often get lumped together. What is the difference between parental choice and school choice? And just as importantly, what is the difference between supporting public education and supporting the particular systems we've created to deliver that education? All right, can you hear me, Dr. Fuller? Thank you all. Okay, there you go. We are live and direct. We have Dr. Howard Fuller joining us virtually as we continue to discuss choices when it comes to the education system here in the city of Milwaukee in the state of Wisconsin. For those who are joining us, Dr. Howard Fuller was very instrumental in making sure that we have the choice program. He was a huge advocate with the late, great Polly Williams to make sure that, you know, we all have choices again. Are you there, Dr. Fuller? We're going to work on making sure we can get his connection together. And while we're doing that, again, I just want to give you all a brief background as to some of the things that we were talking about earlier on in the hour. There is a lot of back and forth about the choice program and whether or not we should continue to implement the choice program or if we need to remove it completely. And that is a problem. That is a problem for parents who have children who they see something in, and parents who have children who are athletic, parents who don't want their children to be sucked up by their environment, and just flat out the choice of them being able to have a choice and that being taken away. Can you hear me, Dr. Fuller? So we're going to continue this discussion with Dr. Fuller once we work out the technical difficulties. Again, my apologies. Shout out to the chat. Hey, Jazz, thank you so much for tapping in with us. But we are going to we have Dr. Fuller joining us virtually. We have to work out some technical difficulties. While we do that, I just want to reiterate what we were talking about at the beginning of the hour and the importance of making sure that we have a choice as a parent, right? As a community. So as a parent who have three children, my children has benefited from the choice program. And the reason why it was necessary is A, because I seen something in all three of them that only I could see. It starts at home. They say it starts at home. And once we figure it out, we try to make the best decision possible. Are you there, Dr. Fuller?
I am.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Sorry about the technical difficulties. The question that I ask is, can you help us separate two ideas that often get lumped together? What is the difference between parental choice and school choice? And just as importantly, what is the difference between supporting public education and supporting the systems we've created to deliver that education?
So thank you so much, Jazz. First of all, I just want to tell you how grateful I am that you have me on your program. So I really appreciate that a lot.
Thank you, Dr. Fuller. Thank you for agreeing to this.
Let me start by trying to make sure that all of your listeners who have not yet, that they will be out tomorrow to vote. I personally am supporting David Crawley for governor, but whomever people are supporting, I hope they will get out and vote, because that's extremely important.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So let me try to answer your question. So back in the day when Paul and I and a whole bunch of people were working on this, we specifically wanted to empower low-income and working parents. So we fought for parent choice, not school choice. We did not want to empower schools to be able to choose kids. We wanted parents to be empowered to choose the best school for their children. And that's an important distinction in my mind. I have never supported school choice. I support parent choice. Because I believe that if you live in America and you got money, you got choice. Because if schools don't work for your people, you're either going to move to communities where they do work, you're going to put your kids in private schools, or you're going to get the most expensive tutoring on the planet. The only people who don't have that type of power are low-income and working-class people who can't, who don't have the money to put their kids in private schools or to get tutoring. And so when Polly and I had to start fighting for this, we wanted those parents to have some of the power that people with money have in this country. And one of the most hypocritical things I've come across in all of the years of working with are people who use choice for their own children, but don't want poor and low-income people to have those same choices.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So, for example, when the program first started, one of the last schools to get into the program was a Catholic school on the far north side of Milwaukee. And the reason was, most of the kids who were in that school were children of Milwaukee public school teachers who didn't want their children in a school with poor Black kids. Mm. So the hypocrites on this issue to me are massive.
Yes.
The issue has never been parent choice. The issue has been who got it and who doesn't. And so what we were trying to do was to change the equation so that some of our parents could have choice. And so that's why I make this distinction between parent choice and school choice.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that.
The second issue that you raised is people say that someone like me, because I support choice, I'm opposed to public education. That's a lie. The fact of the matter is, public education is an idea, and various delivery systems have been created to try to make the promise of that idea real. So the Milwaukee Public Schools, of which I had the honor to be the superintendent from 91 to 95, it is not public education. It is one delivery system for public education.
Yes.
And because I want the delivery system to change, it doesn't mean that I oppose public education. And since these systems were not created by God, we could change them.
That's right.
And so that distinction for me is extremely important.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
One last thing. Just because a school is a traditional MPS school, or a school is a charter school, or a school is a private school, it doesn't mean that they're a good school or a bad school. There are good Milwaukee public schools. There are good charter schools. There are good private schools. And there are terrible Milwaukee public schools, terrible private schools, and terrible charters. So what we have to do is not be so concerned about what type of school that our kids go to, as much as we have to be concerned about what happens to them once they get there.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for providing us with that information. I didn't mean to cut you off, Dr. Fuller. We got to go to break. I'm excited about continuing this conversation. Do not touch that dial. We have the legendary Dr. Howard Fuller, 101.7 The Truth. One-on-1.7 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct, and we are joined virtually by a special guest, the legendary Dr. Howard Fuller. Thank you so much again for joining us today. If you are just now tuning in, we are talking about parent choice versus school choice. Dr. Fuller was breaking down the difference between the two and the importance of parents being able to make choices for their child's education. Dr. Fuller, take us back before politics, before vouchers became something politicians argued about. What was happening to children and families in Milwaukee that made you all believe that something had to change? I think you're on mute, Dr. Fuller. Are you able to hear me? So we are joined by Dr. Fuller. Again, we do apologize for any of the technical issues that we all are experiencing. But the conversation, if you are just now joining us, the conversation has been about the parental choice, as just the choice overall in the fight to make sure that parents have a choice for their child's education. And Dr. Fuller was explaining to us the difference between a parental choice and school choice. And at the end of the day, my belief is each person, each parent should have the choice to make when it comes to their child's education. There are people who have fought for us to have these choices. Dr. Fuller is one of those people. And we're here to talk about it today. We're here to dive in it a little bit more and have this discussion so that you all can understand the history behind it, who played a part on it as well, and give y'all the correct information. So, because we are having technical difficulties, that will be a disservice to the listener. So what we're going to do is we're going to pivot and have Dr. Fuller call in. We're going to have him call in so that you guys can hear him clearly and you can receive the information that is needed. Because, again, when it comes to us, when it comes to our people, a lot of times we're not privy to this information. We don't have facts. We're going based off of media, off of social media, and the things that simply are not true. So we are joined by phone with Dr. Howard Fuller. Sorry about the technical difficulties. Thank you so much for being flexible.
No problem at all.
So the question coming back from the break, I wanted to talk about everything before the politics, before the vouchers became something that they argued about. What was happening? What was happening during that time that made the family say, hey, something has to change?
Okay, so this is going to take a minute, but I'm going to try to be concise, but hopefully informative, because you ask a very important question. So what you have to understand is that back in 1972, the issue for Black children and Black families from one segment of our community was desegregation. So that a man named Lloyd Barbie led a group called MUSIC. And MUSIC stood for something about Milwaukee United for Integrated Schools. They filed a suit against the Milwaukee Public Schools for being intentionally segregated. And ultimately, there was what was called an out-of-court settlement to desegregate the Milwaukee Public Schools. And even when they did that desegregation plan, they put the onus for busing on the backs of Black children. So that Katina Harwell Young's father, Larry Harwell, created a group called Two Way or No Way. Because Larry's argument was, if you're going to have desegregation, it shouldn't just be Black children who have to get on a bus to support this integration. And so if you can imagine for a moment, Jazz, our Avenue attendance area, they went into the Our Avenue attendance area and bused Black children to over 100 different schools in Milwaukee to achieve, quote, desegregation. They never achieved integration, because integration means that there would have been shared power. Desegregation meant they moved bodies. And so way back then, there were people in our community who were protesting the fact that all of this movement was on the backs of Black children.
And for every one of our children who got on a bus, the state sent the district money. And so the district was making a huge amount of money off of busing Black children. But for many people, they thought that, okay, integration has solved, or desegregation has solved, the education problem. Even though the desegregation case itself left out 19 Black schools because they just said, we can't get no white people to come into the Black community. We can't desegregate these schools like ours, so we're just going to leave them Black. But we're going to bust the children out of those areas. And in fact, Jasmine, you and your listeners need to know that there was a document that was put together, and on page 97 of that document, it says that the Milwaukee Public Schools had they had the responsibility to ensure that no white child would ever have to go to a school that was predominantly minority. So this whole integration scheme was developed on the backs of Black children. 30 years later, in a panel, the architect of this plan admitted, and it was an article in the Journal Sentinel, a headline, where they admitted all of this was done in a way to benefit white people, even though it was supposed to be a plan for us. So it started with DSEG, right? And we thought that, okay, Black kids are getting a great education. But what happened in 1985, we created a commission that the governor and the state superintendent supported. And I was the one who got Governor Earl to agree to create this commission. And every school in the city and the suburbs took the Iowa test for basic skills. And what we found out was, in every school in the city, there was a gap in learning between white kids and Black kids. So the desegregation efforts had not solved the education problem. Only one high school in the city did Black kids have a grade point average over a D, and that was Rufus King, because Rufus King had been set up as a school for the college bound. Mm-hmm. So we went in and talked to the superintendent to say, look, how come you didn't tell us how bad it was for our children? You know what this man told us? And I will never forget it as long as I live. He said, we couldn't tell you Black people how bad your children were doing, because if we had, the Black parents could not stand to know how bad their children was doing. And the second thing is, it would have given fodder to the racists who believed that Black children could not learn. That's what this man said to our face. So based on that, we said, well, what are y'all going to do? What's the strategy? And when they had no strategy, Jazz, what we proposed was the creation of a separate school district. It was going to be called the North Division School District. It was going to be North Division, my high school that I graduated from, the two middle schools in the North Division cluster, and 10 elementary schools like Lee and Auer and Hopkins, and those schools in what was called the North Division cluster. We actually got a vote through the assembly to create this district, but it got voted down in the Senate. When that happened, Polly Williams, who had the courage, I can't tell you how much courage this took for this Black woman to stand up in the 1980s and say, if you're not going to educate our children, you won't let us create our own district, then give us an avenue out of here so we can create our own schools.
Yes.
That's when we proposed the voucher program that became known as the Milwaukee Parental Choice Program.
So that's
Polly Williams took, Jazz, she took so much venom, the hatred towards her, the threats on her life, all of the things that happened because she had the courage to to stand up and say, I believe that my parents ought to have some power to choose a better education for their children. That's how it started.
We are live with the legendary Dr. Howard Fuller. We are talking about the choice program, parental choice program, how it started, the history, the fact that as a parent, you should have a choice, period. And there are people who came before us to make sure that this happened. Let's talk about it when we get back. 101.7 The Truth. Do not touch that dial.
Mother, there's too many of you crying.
101.7 The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. You are officially tapped in. We are joined by a very special guest this evening, the legendary Dr. Howard Fuller. Prior to break, Dr. Fuller was explaining to us the process of the parental choice program, the sacrifices, the hard work that went into Mrs. Polly Williams, as well as himself and others, to make this happen. So once you guys found a solution and you began to, you know, confront them, Dr. Fuller, in order to implement it, what are some of the challenges that you were initially faced with, and how did you overcome it so that you guys were able to become successful with pushing out the parental choice program?
Well, I think, and that's a great question, Jazz, because I think some of those challenges are still with us today. And I think we should talk about the threat that currently exists today, particularly because the front runner for the Democratic Party nominee to be governor has said that she intends to eliminate the Milwaukee Parental Choice Program. She has never sat down, to my knowledge, with any parents like yourself and others who have used parent choice to ask, why are you doing this? You know, to just sit up in Madison and just in a cavalier way announce, well, if I become governor, I'm just going to get rid of that program in maybe my second or third budget. I think it's the height of arrogance. It shows that you have people like her and others who don't understand and frankly don't seem to care about the pain and suffering that goes on in the city of Milwaukee.
Yes.
Who don't seem to care that it's important that parents like you be able to decide, where do I want my child to go to school? Because you know that if you have more than one child, on any given day, you'll wake up and swear that there was a mistake in the hospital because one of them couldn't possibly be yours. Because you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And different ones of people's children need different options. We have some families who send one child to MPS, one child to a charter school, one child to a private school, because they believe that that works best for their children. And so what I'm saying is the historic fight for us to be empowered. You have someone who just stands up without knowing what it is we've gone through, without understanding the history of what we've gone through, and just announce, I'm going to end it.
Yes.
And I'm saying very clearly that I will never vote for a person like that. And I feel so deeply about the fact that both of these parties, one party, the Republicans, use us as a punching bag.
Yes.
The other party takes us for granted and almost just tells us, shut up and dribble.
Yes.
We know what's best for you.
Ooh.
And so what I'm trying to say, and I understand people don't agree with me, but I have to express my views and the anger that I have with how our community is treated and the decisions that people make without taking into account the realities that we live with, that you live with, and other people who are listening to this, that live with this every single day. So when we were fighting for this, there were people who, again, accused us of trying to destroy public education. They accused us of being tools of the right wing. That, you know, all of these things they throw at us because we had the audacity to say our people should have choice.
Yes.
Because you know, Jazz, at the end of the day, the question is, who controls the flow and distribution of the money? And what these people wanted to do is not give you the power to choose. Because when you exercise that power, you exercise where your money is going to go, right?
Yes.
You exercise, where is this per pupil amount that my child generates? Where do I want that per pupil amount to go to?
Absolutely.
And so these people think that we are fools, that we don't understand that a part of the reason why they oppose parent choice is because they want to control us. They want to control how the money is spent. They don't want to give us any power. And at a point in time when Trump is coming at us like guns blazing, full force to wipe out any gains that we may have made over the past two decades, here comes somebody from the left who wants to wipe out gains that we've made in another way.
Mm.
And people got to see through the hypocrisy of what it is that's happening right now in our community. Our children are not their primary interest set.
Yes.
And so since our children are not their primary interest, we got to make our children our primary interest.
Yes. So first and foremost, thank you for explaining that, because I was talking about that earlier, being a parent who did have one child in MPS, the other in charter, and the other in private. And it was for the exact reason that you mentioned. They're three different children, three different personalities, three different learning capabilities. And I had, as a mother, I had to step back and be able to identify that and make the choice to say, hey, this whole, you know, one book works for all is not going to work for my children. And speaking of the politics, I talked about this last week as well. The fact that someone who does not relate to our demographic and continues to remind us why they don't gets to make a decision in the event she does become governor, by saying, I'm going to remove this choice from you, is the very reason why we are having this conversation today. Another aspect of that is legacy is important to me. And this is a part of your legacy, a part of Polly Williams' legacy, a part of those who played a major part in making this happen. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about all of the work that you guys have put in? And for someone who has no idea about real life in this city, for our people, get to dictate your legacy or what you've contributed to your legacy.
So honestly, this is going to sound kind of weird. I don't believe in legacy. Let me explain that, because I get it. I know what people are saying, but here's what I want to say to you is, I don't ever want you to make a decision about what you think is best for your children, trying to protect my legacy. I want you to make a decision about what's best for your children, because that's best for your children. And if it means going against something that I fought for because it's a different time, it's a different period, I want you to make that decision based on that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You don't, honest to God, you don't owe me anything. You know, I had a responsibility to fight the fights that I fought and the ones that I'm still fighting, because I believe in my community. I believe in our children, and you know that. But I know that there are people who don't agree with me, and I'm not tripping on that, right? Because I don't. Black people are not a monolith. You know what I'm saying? We got people who think, who have different ideas about things, different approaches to things. I have an approach, and because I have an approach, I have a responsibility to fight for that. But the point I'm trying to make on this legacy thing is, I want you always to feel free to make the best decision for your children. And I'm talking about us collectively as a community, even if it is not the same thing that I would have done. You feel it? Because I don't want people to be constrained in the future by always trying to adhere to the past. But what I do think is important is to understand how we got here, so that if people make a decision to move away from that, they're making a decision based on an understanding of why this happened. You know what I'm saying? And not only an understanding of it, but an appreciation of it. And so if someone like you stands up and tells me, hey, you know, like, I'm not sure about this, I can listen to you because you're living it, Jeff. Somebody who's up in Madison, who ain't never been down here, who's never experienced the pain and the suffering that it takes to be Black in America, who's just going to pronounce that she's going to take away power that we fought for, I got a serious problem with that.
Absolutely.
You see what I'm saying? I got a serious problem with that. And me, I'm just one 85-year-old man who got one vote, but I will never give it to her because of the arrogance that she is showing by talking about us without ever talking to us about what it is that we're trying to do and why.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that, Dr. Fuller. When we come back, we're going to finish this conversation. Let's talk about how this may affect athletes, as well as what happens in the event that the parental choice program was completely terminated. Let's talk about it when we come back from break. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth. Maybe you 101.7 The Truth with your girl, Jazz Tyler. We are officially tapped in with the legendary Dr. Howard Fuller. For those who are joining us, we are having a conversation about the choice program and what that will look like if it is removed and how we got here in the first place. Dr. Fuller, I mentioned this prior to you joining us today, but I want to bring it back up, especially because you have such an amazing track record as an athlete, both in high school and college. One of the comments that I made, I am a parent who played basketball as well, elementary through high school, and I have two children, and my daughter is now about to go to college to play basketball. How important is it when it comes to the parental choice program in athletes? One of the takes that I mentioned earlier was the fact that removing this, especially for athletes, this could affect them scholarship-wise. And we all know when we come from certain environments and neighborhoods that that may be the only way that student and that family can be successful in life. How does this impact, in the event that this was taken away, how does this impact athletes specifically?
That's an interesting question, Jazz. And I actually don't have a good answer because I'm not sure, because I have no idea how they're going to actually do this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it's hard for me to understand, like, what would happen. And let me try to explain it in this way. My last day as superintendent, which was June 30th of 1995, my last day as superintendent, we had 96,549 students going to the Milwaukee Public Schools. Today, as you know, there's closer to 50-some thousand. And so almost 50% of our children who are publicly funded do not attend school at MPS. So, for example, on the athletic thing, and you know this, one of the reasons Washington was able to have a football team last year was because they had a co-op with HFCA, with Dr. Howard Fuller Collegiate Academy.
Mm-hmm.
So almost half of the boys were our boys, actually, who were playing football for Washington High School. Because there has been a significant population decline, particularly on the north side of Milwaukee, they are expecting 20% fewer first graders in 5 years. So you have the situation now, I don't know what it is for this coming year, but for the last school year, Washington High School only had 370 kids enrolled. My high school had 256. So what I'm saying to you is that one of the problems that we have to clearly look at, and it will impact athletics and everything else, is the loss of student population, particularly on the north side of Milwaukee. And so when we're talking about these things and just, you know, almost in a cavalier fashion, it's not understanding what the impact of some of these policies that these people are proposing will have. Let me take a slight detour from the athletic part, because I think this is very important. When you're being attacked the way that Donald Trump is attacking Black people, we are in what I would call like what it was like during the post-Reconstruction period. When Black people had gotten into office, Black people had made gains after slavery. During the post-Reconstruction period, the job of the white supremacists was to turn back all of the gains that we had made during Reconstruction. What Trump and his minions are doing is the same thing. They are trying to take back whatever gains Black people have made, you know, over the last two decades. They made the decision that in order for America to be more white, they got to get rid of all the people that they can of color. That's what this ICE thing is all about. It's removing people of color, because they're worried that the data shows that by 2040, white people will be a minority in America. That's what this is about.
Yes.
And so when you're in a period like this, one of the most important things for you to do is to build institutions, because you have to have institutions to be able to react and fight back against the effort to destroy us. So when people come along and say, I want to eliminate the parent choice program, and they're supposed to be the left, in fact, what they're doing is to opening us up for greater attacks from the right.
Mm.
So these proposals not only have an impact on our children and all that, they have an impact on Black people's ability to build strong institutions. And so people like her don't understand the critical importance of institutional building for Black people to resist oppression.
Yes.
And so what sounds like some type of progressive move is in fact a regressive move against Black people.
Yes. And it's packaged up in a way to make it seem as if she's on our side, when in reality, that's
exactly
not the case.
Exactly. It's a wolf dressed in sheep clothing.
Yes. Yes. So we know that we don't know what's going to happen, but based off of the history, based off of you being there from the beginning, and then also being aware of where we sit at today, in the event, hypothetically, in the event the parental choice program was completely removed, how important is it for us, our people, to understand the shift? What would happen, in your opinion, if that program was taken away, and how would it impact us the most?
Well, the first thing is we can't let it happen. And what I'm hoping, Jazz, is that people like you, and there are many other people here, that you all will organize and fight back. At this point in time, a person like me, I want to be supportive of you. I'm not trying to lead nothing. Mm-hmm. I had my opportunity to lead. I want to be supportive of people like you who are prepared to fight. We cannot allow this to happen to us and we don't fight.
Yes.
We have to fight for our survival. We have to fight in order to have power so that we can try to make a better life for our children and for our community. Someone like her, she don't know how to build in our community. She don't know the pain and suffering that we have gone through as a people in this country.
Yes.
And so I'm hoping that people like you, who not only have a voice, but people listen to you, that you will mobilize folks to fight back. We need to support people in our community like Dora Drake or Senator Johnson or Supreme or Kaylin or Margaret, those black elected officials who know that what I'm saying is true. And we have to get behind them so that if she does get elected governor, that they will fight back against any policies that she would propose that would end the parental choice program in Milwaukee. But if the other dude gets elected, we got another type of fight. Ooh. You know what I'm saying? It is. So either way, Jazz, we're going to have to fight.
Yes.
Right? The issue, it's going to be, what issues are we going to have to fight on as a people? And we have to be conscious, and we have to be focused. And the most important thing is we have to be willing to fight. We can't just let them do whatever they want to do to us, and we say nothing.
Yes. Yes. I agree. I agree. And what I vow, Dr. Fuller, is to continue to keep fighting. And my call to action for the listeners is for you all to find a way to organize and continue to fight as well.
I appreciate that so much, dear.
We have to. Thank you so much for joining us. I value the information that you have provided to myself and my listeners, because, again, a lot of times when we see things in media, especially the white media, when it comes to politics, it's always dictated to program us to believe, you know, certain things. And for me, it was, hey, let's get it right from the horse's mouth. We can go, we still have you. So the information is there, you know, and we need this information so that we can make the best decision, to your point earlier. In order for us to make the best decision, we have to know how it started. And that's exactly what we went over today. And again, I truly, truly, truly thank you for providing us with this valuable information, for giving us the insight, but also just for being a respected elder in our community who is saying, hey, I did the work. It's your time to do the work now, and I'm happy to support you all.
Right. Well, I'm so grateful to you, as you know, for you having me on the show, but I'm even more grateful that you're part of the HFCA family. And so I truly appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dr. Fuller. I pray that you enjoy the rest of your evening, and I want to make that personal vow to continue to fight and push forward everything that we've discussed today into the truth. Nation, I ask that you all do the same. When we come back for break, we are going to continue this conversation. Again, thank you so much, Dr. Fuller. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth.